Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So at the end of the 18th Anuchet, it's been proposed that we accept Srimad Bhagavatam as our primary authority for a few reasons. It's definitely a Purana, according to the definition of a Purana. It also is aparashaya. It's understood to have perfect authority. It's not actually written by anybody. And it teaches everything essential that is taught by the Vedas, the Itihasas, and Puranas. It is faithful to the Vedanta Sutra, and it's available in full. So that's the proposal. And now, in support of the proposal that we take Srimad Bhagavatam as our primary authority, the next few anuchedes, Srila Jiva Goswami is going to give reasons and evidence to support the proposal. Text 19.1. Yat kalu sarva purana jatam avirbhavya brahma sutram cha praniyap apuritushtena tena bhagavata nijasutranam akritrima bhashya bhutam samadhi labdham avyabhavitam yasmin eva sarva shastra samanvayo drishyate sarva vedarta sutra lakshanam gayatrim adikritya pravartita twat. After bringing to light all the Puranas and compiling the Vedanta Sutras, the powerful sage Vyasa was still dissatisfied. He therefore produced from his mature meditation this Bhagavatam, the natural commentary on his own sutras, the coherent overview of all scriptures is found in this work, inasmuch as it begins under the auspices of the Gayatri Mantra, which is distinguished as the foundational text for the purport of all the Vedas. Okay, so Bhagavatam begins with an allusion to the Gayatri. It's actually not written in Gayatri meter. There is no Gayatri meter in the Bhagavatam. Gayatri is a Vedic meter. It's not used in classical Sanskrit because it has three legs, and classical verses have 4 feet, 4 lines. But the Gayatri has great authority, and the Gayatri is actually referring to the Supreme Lord, Narayana. So anyway, this will be discussed, but there's going to be focus here on the Gayatri and some discussion about what the Gayatri is about in order to help support the idea that Bhagavatam is authoritative. Okay. Tatapi, 19.2. Tatapi tatsurupam matsye yatradi kritya gayatrim varnyate dharma vistara vitrasara varopetam tad bhagavatam ishyate likitva tachayo dadyad dema simha samanvitam praushta padyam paurnamasyam sayati paramam gatim ashtadasha sahasrani Puranam tat prakirtitam. In just this manner, the Matsya Purana depicts the identity of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because here's this a tat. See, this is the kind of problem we have here in trying to translate the sandarbhas. Tatapi tat sarupam matsya. So they have the pronoun tat. Looking at the flow of the text, it looks like the last thing we mentioned was Gayatri. So you might take tat to refer to Gayatri, but no, obviously the statement of the Matsya Purana is about the Bhagavatam. You got to be very careful to sort out your antecedents for all the pronouns. Okay, so the Matsya Purana says this about the Bhagavatam. In the beginning of one of the Puranas, the Gayatri Mantra is the heart of the discourse. This Purana delineates all the ramifications of true religion and narrates the killing of the demon Vitra. This Purana is known as Srimad Bhagavatam. A person who transcribes a copy of the Bhagavatam places it on a gold lion throne and gives it as a gift to someone on the full moon day of the month of Praushtapada, will achieve the supreme goal of life. That means you have to give the gold throne too. This Purana is said to have 18,000 verses. Atra, well, that is supposed to be able, it's supposed to be sufficient information for identifying the Bhagavatam. 18,000 verses, begins with Gayatri, talks about Vitrasura. Other Puranas don't have those three characteristics. It's not that there's not other important things about the Bhagavatam, like maybe it talks about the Supreme Lord and describes his devotional service. That's not mentioned here. But what this is attempting is identifying the Bhagavatam by distinguishing it from other Puranas. But what Jiva Goswami is interested in here is the reference to Gayatri. That is the first thing that's used to define the Bhagavatam, is its beginning with Gayatri. Atra Gayatri Shabdena Tat Suchaka Tad Avyavichari Dimahi Padasamvalita Tadarta Eveshyate Sarve Sham Mantranam Adi Rupayas Tasya Sakshad Katana Anarhatwat Tadartata Cha Janmad Yasya Yataha Tene Brahmarida Iti Sarvalokashrayatwa Buddhi Vritti Prerakatatwadi Samyat Dharma Vistara Ityatra Dharma Shabdak Padama Dharma Padak Dharmak Projita Kaitavotra Padamak Ityatraiva Patipadita Twat Sacha Bhagavad Dhyanadi Lakshana Eveti Purastad Vyakti Bhavishyati. Here the word Gayatri refers only to the meaning of Gayatri and to the single word Dimahi. The word Dimahi is there in the first verse of the Bhagavatam, which indicates the Gayatri texts and invariably occurs within them. In the context, it would be improper to utter the actual Gayatri, the primeval form of all Vedic mantras. Why? Would it be inappropriate to directly speak the Gayatri? He says, not only is it not spoken, he says it wouldn't be right to speak it. Why? Okay, yeah, the Bhagavatam is supposed to be for everybody, and everybody isn't supposed to hear the Gayatri.
Yes.
Also, the meter doesn't fit. Gayatri is, first of all, the meter. Okay, the meaning of Gayatri is found in the phrases, quote, from whom proceed the generation, maintenance, and destruction of this universe. That's the first verse. And this is also first verse, he imparted the transcendental sound of the Vedas from within the heart. Tene Brahma. Brahma here doesn't mean Lord Brahma. Adi Kavaye. Adi Kavaye means Brahma, but those words, only the first three words were cited here. Brahma means the Vedas. These two phrases express ideas identical to those contained in Gayatri. That the Supreme Truth is the shelter of all the worlds, and that He is He who inspires intelligence. In the phrase, all the ramifications of religion, Dharma Vistaraha, the word religion, Dharma, means the supreme religion. Since the Bhagavatam states, in this work, the supreme religion is described to the exclusion of all religion that cheats. Such activities as meditation on the personality of Godhead are the specific features of this supreme religion, as will be evident later. Okay, that is the Anuchet, now the commentary. Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa is the Vyasa Deva is the literary incarnation of the Supreme Lord. Thus, he is often called Bhagawan, a title reserved for Lord Vishnu and specially empowered servants of Vishnu like Lord Shiva. Nevertheless, Vyasadeva accepted the pastime of having to face doubt. After organizing all the Shrutis and composing the Vedanta Sutras and Mahabharata, he felt dissatisfied. He doubted whether people in Kali Yuga would understand the mysteries of the personality of Godhead's opulence and all attractiveness, since in all the works he had produced, these were never fully realized, the Lord's opulence and all attractiveness. Kimva Bhagavata Dharma na prayena nirupita priyak paramahamsanam toyeva hyachuta priyaha. I think I have mostly failed to describe the principles of devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which are dear both to perfect beings and to the infallible Lord. Thus Srila Vyas knew what the source of his dissatisfaction was, but he needed to hear confirmation from his spiritual master Narada, along with specific instructions on how to remedy the problem. Sri Narada Uvacha Bhavata Nudita Prayam Yasho Bhagavato Malam Yenaivasau Natushyeta Manyeta Darshanam Kilam. This is the opposite of akila. Kila means like nuna, insufficient. And akila means nothing's missing. Akila, everything. Sri Narada said, you have not actually broadcast the sublime and spotless glories of the personality of Godhead. That philosophy which does not satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless. Ato mahabhaga bhavana mogadrik shuchi shrava sacharato dvitavrataha urukramasya kilabanna muktaye samadina nusmaratad vicheshnitam. O highly fortunate one, your vision is completely perfect, your good fame is spotless, you are firm in vow and situated in transcendence. You should think of the pastimes of the Lord in trance for the liberation of the people in general from all material bondage. Tvamatmanatmanamavihyamogadrik padasya pumsa paramatmana kalam ajam prajatam jagatak shivayatan mahanubhavabhyudayodikanyatam. Your goodness has perfect vision. You yourself can know the Supersoul, personality of Godhead, because you are present as the plenary portion of the Lord. Although you are birthless, you have appeared on this earth for the well-being of all people. Please, therefore, describe the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, more vividly. Even pure devotees of the Lord suffer apparent forgetfulness of his presence and directions while living in this world, in the mood of separation from him. Thus a fully surrendered devotee sometimes thinks he should first accomplish some business in this world before becoming a full-time preacher of the Lord's glories. Feeling unqualified to assume the position of Vaishnavacharya, he makes plans for success as a businessman or scholar. But because he is sincere, the Lord reminds him at the right time of his higher duty. Srila Vyasadeva followed this pattern in his transcendental pastimes, busying himself for a long time in teaching the worldly principles of ritualistic religion, material acquisition, sense enjoyment, and impersonal liberation. When he finally realized the inadequacy of all he had done, he was ready to be redirected by his spiritual master. Following Narada's advice, Vyasadeva sat in meditation at his ashrama in the Himalayas on the bank of the Saraswati River. What he saw in trance became the basis of the 18,000-verse Srimad Bhagavatam, the natural commentary on his Vedanta Sutras, for an author knows best the purpose of his own work. Srimad Bhagavatam is equivalent to the Vedanta Sutras because it also definitely reconciles all scriptures. Not definitely, definitively reconciles all scriptures. The Vedanta Sutras and Srimad Bhagavatam both define the supreme tattva, the unifier of all truths, as Sarve Veda Yat Padam Amananti, that reality which all the Vedas affirm, which is from Katopanishad. Only the Bhagavatam, however, fully explains the supreme truth personally in a way that every honest and sensible person can understand, regardless of birth, training, and past behavior. Srila Jiva Goswami next highlights that Srimad Bhagavatam embodies the purport of the sacred Vedic mantra known as Gayatri. Every twice-born Brahmana is enjoined to chant this mantra at the three junctures of the day, sunrise, noon, and sunset. Gayatri is a direct expansion of the original Vedic syllable Om, and from her expand all other mantras. Therefore, she is known as the mother of the Vedas. There are 24 syllables in Gayatri, divided into three sections of 8 syllables each. Like other Vedic and Tantric mantras, Gayatri should be chanted only by those properly initiated into it by a representative of an authentic disciplic succession. Sampradaya vihina ye mantras te nishpala mataha. It is understood that whatever mantras you might chant will be fruitless if not received through a bona fide sampradaya. Padma Purana. Thus, as a general rule, scriptures do not give away mantras meant for the initiated by gratuitously quoting them verbatim. This is another reason why Gayatri is not cited directly. Because only those who are initiated, Brahman or not, but even Pancharadrika, tantric mantras, there has to be initiation before you hear the mantra. Or it's given at initiation. So, as a general rule, scriptures do not give away mantras meant for the initiated by gratuitously quoting them verbatim. When citing such mantras, shastras almost always invert or leave out some words. For this reason, Srimad Bhagavatam never directly quotes the Gayatri mantra, either in the first verse or anywhere else in its 12 cantos. The original Brahma Gayatri and its variants appear nowhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, nor are there any verses composed in the 24-syllable Gayatri meter. The only literal fragment of Gayatri visible in the opening verse of the Bhagavatam is the one word, Dhimahi, let us meditate. In the Gayatri, the word appears as follows. Tat savitur varenyam bargo devasya dhimahi diyo yo nak prachodayat. Whoops, I just quoted it. Okay. Let us meditate on the all-worshipable effulgence of the Supreme Lord, the giver of life. May he inspire our intelligence. That's the Rig Veda. And Srimad Bhagavatam begins, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmad Yasya Yaton Vayad Itaratas Charite Shabhi Gyak Sarat Tene Brahma Vidaya Adi Kavaye Muyanti Yatsurdaya Tejo Vari Midam Yata Vinamayo Yatra Trisargo Misha Dhamna Smena Sadani Rastakuhakam Satyam Param Dimahi. Let us meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna, because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance, and destruction of the manifest universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he who first imparted the Vedic knowledge under the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire or land seen on water. Only because of him do the material universes, temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature, appear factual, although they are unreal. We therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. We meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. Meditation on the personality of Godhead, indicated by the injunctive verb, dhimahi, comprises the essence of Krishna consciousness, the path of unalloyed devotional service. The same means of achieving the perfection of human life is taught by the Vedas. Atma va are drashtavya, shrotavya, mantavyo, nididhyasitavyo maitreyi. My dear Maitreyi, one should realize the Supreme Truth and come to see him directly. One should hear about that soul. Carefully think about him and deeply meditate upon him. That's the Briharanyaka Upanishad. Vedaham etam purusham mahantam aditya varnam tamasak parastat tameva viditvati mrityumeti nanyat panta vidyate yanaya. I have realized this Supreme Person, effulgent like the sun, beyond the darkness of material illusion. One who knows him goes beyond death. There is no other path to perfection. Shvetashvatara Upanishad. That's Anuchet 19. Comments? Questions? Yes.
A question because about quotes from Matsya Purana. Srila Prabhupada, in his preface to Srimad Bhagavatam, he tells that Srimad Bhagavatam is mentioned in the oldest Purana, in Matsya Purana. So, how we can understand this? Oldest, latest Purana?
I don't know.
Srila Prabhupada, in his introduction to.
Yes, but I don't know what that means. Yeah. I don't know what it means that it's the oldest Purana. It's an old Purana. I don't know why it's the very oldest. I don't know.
Because we know that all Puranas are compiled together, they're eternal, and we cannot judge oldest or latest Purana.
Yes. You could say, well, maybe they were manifested at different times. But actually, they were all spoken by Suta Goswami at Naimisharanya. So, and he may have spoken, he spoke some Purana before another one. It could be, you know, by a few days older. In that sense, I don't know. And I don't think Matsya Purana is the first one that Suta Goswami spoke. Yes. Yes?
I had a guess about that. I just check it with you that, like, maybe the scholars,
yeah,
they might say, this Purana was written at that time, this Purana.
Yes, the scholars have all sorts of ideas about the speculations.
So they might say, oh, the Matsya Purana is the oldest. It says, oh, well, even the oldest Purana that you say, it talks about the Bhagavatam.
That
also
makes sense. Then when Prabhupada says that, he means oldest according to the mundane opinions. Maybe that is the opinion. It might be.
Because I heard that Bhaktivinoda sometimes would also like speak like that in some of his books.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, it's what the modern scholars think is the oldest. Yes.
In 19.1, the last sentence, it talks about the Gayatri Mantra, which is distinguished. I'll just read the full sentence. The current overview of all scriptures is found in this work, inasmuch as it begins under the auspices of the Gayatri Mantra, which is distinguished as the foundational text for the purport of all the Vedas. Can you elaborate on this, which is distinguished as the fundamental text for the purport of all the Vedas?
Well, the word sutra is there. So the Gayatri is a sutra. Sutra is a short text that contains a lot of information in it. So the Gayatri was manifest before the rest of the Vedas. It's the first mantra that appeared. And all the other mantras came out of the Gayatri. So that means that all the ideas of the Vedas are squeezed into the Gayatri. So I take it to mean that. That it's just one mantra that's got packed in it the meaning of all the mantras. So it's a sutra like that. You know, you're going to write a whole... A sutra is... The condensed form of your philosophy is in a few sutras. But you could write an elaborate commentary. You could write your own, or your disciple could write for you a commentary on the sutras that explains so many ideas. But all those ideas are supposed to be actually implicit in the sutra. And the commentary just explains what the sutra is actually indicating. Like that. All the ideas of the Vedas are there in the Gayatri Mantra. And it's just like a sutra that contains the seed of what will be expanded into so many commentaries. That's the idea of sutra. Vishnu Kantapura? Yeah.
See, some of the mantras, like the Gopal mantras given in the Gopala Tapani Upanishad, and Mahamantra is given in the one of the Upanishads. So how is it that these confidential mantras are given directly in the Upanishads?
Where is the Gopal Mantra given?
The Gopal Tapani Upanishad.
I think it's given in a transformed form. The words are inverted, words are changed, so the actual literal mantra is not given directly as far as I know.
Each word is explained
I'm not familiar with the complete text of the Gopal Kari. I know in the Brahma Samhita, the mantras that are given in a somewhat changed form. And I would presume that like that, you can show me the text, the Gopal Tapani Upanishad. I don't think it's given exactly literal verbatim. Something has changed.
Did the Kali Santarana Upanishad gives Mahamantra directly? Is it?
Mahamantra is okay. Mahamantra is not a Vedic mantra. It doesn't have to be reserved. Everybody can have it.
It's more confidential than the Vedic mantras, isn't it?
Which?
Mahamantras.
It's there. I don't think it was unknown even before Kali Yuga. Just the importance of it wasn't known. You know, it was just considered, you know, popular mantra. It wasn't well known that it's the most important mantra. But I'm sure people were not ignorant of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra without having to read it in some Upanishad. And when you, you know, when the ladies next door are singing it and you hear it all the time, then you don't need to read it in a book. You hear it all the time, then if it's a popular mantra, then you know it just by hearing it from people chanting it. Anyway, that's different than Vedic mantras. Vedic mantras are not supposed... You don't need initiation to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. It's not one of that kind of mantra. And even the Kali Santaran Upanishad changes the words around. It says Hari Rama first. And you can argue, well, that's because that's the actual mantra, and we have it backwards. Or you could say it's intentionally turned around so they don't give the mantra without initiation. They don't give it in the book. They turn it. They invert it. The Kali Santaran Upanishad, as far as we understand, inverts the mantra and gives the Hari Rama first.
This other groups of followers of Lord Chaitanya who chant the other way around. At least in Tamil Nadu, I've seen some devotees like that. Groups of
Gaudiya Vaishnavas in Tamil Nadu.
Yeah, actually, Krishna Premi Swami, Jay Muralidharan Swami, they are all...
Who?
Krishna Premi Swami.
Well, what sampradaya is he coming from?
I'm not exactly sure.
Is he really, really a follower of Lord Chaitanya?
But actually, he's preaching all the books of Goswamis and has translated everything into Tamil language.
Okay.
And he has built...
And likes to chant Hari Ram first.
Yeah.
Okay. Comes out the same anyway. If he changed the words, that would be another thing. But he just says them and, you know, starts with Hari Rama, that's okay.
Is that bona fide mantra even if...
Prabhupada didn't have a problem with it. He said, yeah. Prabhupada thought that it, you know, if you chant continuously, it comes out the same anyway. Yes?
Is Hare Krishna Maha Mantra considered to be Vedic mantra? Because, you know, that mantra...
It's what mantra?
Does Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we chant usually, does it consider it to be a Vedic mantra, like originally?
Sometimes, but if, you know, externally it's not. It's a Pancharatrika mantra. It may be secretly a Vedic mantra. It's not there in the Vedas. You don't find it, you know, you find it in that one Upanishad.
I'm asking because is there any reason...
If it was a Vedic mantra, then only Brahmins should chant
it. To invert it, like we have in Kali Santaran Upanishad. Is there any reason to invert it? Because it would
be... I can think of two reasons. Two reasons is you think that that's the real... Whoever inverted it is presenting it as the real form of the mantra, and they think we're inverting it. That's one reason. That, you know, the Kali Santaran Upanishad is of the opinion that that's the proper form of the mantra. Or... It's intentionally switching the words around so as not to give it on paper, that it should be heard. Two possible reasons. Yes, you have another reason?
Something related on the topic. There's a few verses in Bhadyavali that say that the Harinam is so auspicious and it doesn't even require mantra or purushcharya.
Yes.
It doesn't even require, sorry, diksha or purushcharya.
Yes.
Most mantras only you know, exude their force after diksha.
Yes.
Harinam doesn't. But I was thinking of the Vayupurana also, that Hare Krishna, in that chapter of the Vayupurana called Gauranga Chandrodaya, then it's the Hare Krishna mantra appears in the order that we chant at there.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So, anyway, we have, therefore, authoritative statement that you don't need initiation, and another place where the mantra is quoted, and quoted in with Hari Rama first, Hare Krishna first. Yes?
So, do you actually give the Gayatri in your text? In
I'm
your
sorry?
Purport?
I gave that. I gave part of it.
Okay, that's not the whole thing.
Well, the Vyakriti is missing. Let me see, what did we write here? Should I take it out? I think I put it because Baladev Vidyabhushan gave it in his commentary. It's there in Baladev Vidyabhushan's commentary, so I went ahead and did it. Om Tat Sat. Om is missing, and the Om Bhur Bhuvah Svah is missing. Otherwise, that's the whole thing, yeah. You never saw it before? Okay. Forget you saw that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you say, oh, we don't, the sashas don't say the mantra, and then you...
Yeah, I contradicted myself. But Baladeva Vidyabhushan, I'm just paraphrasing Baladeva Vidyabhushan here.
But it's not, actually, you're not giving the whole thing, as you said,
Well, it's basically, that's the mantra. The rest of it is, icing.
Leave out some words. Like you
leave
Om
out, and leave Bhur Bhavakswa out. Everything else is there. Yes, then Shabri. Okay.
I remember one explanation about Gayatri Mantra, that even if we hear this mantra in full, but it doesn't mean that we already get in this way initiation to chanting this mantra. We can get initiation only when the spiritual master, he intentionally gives to us his intention to transfer this mantra to us. Only in this case we can receive Gayatri Mantra. Otherwise, there are so many like cassettes which plays Gayatri Mantra. Gayatri Mantra Jap and so on, but it doesn't mean that those people who listen to it, they get initiation to the chanting of Gayatri Mantra.
Yes, but the Shastras avoid giving the mantra, even though that's not a real initiation, because people will be misled and think they've gotten initiation just by reading it in the book. So therefore the Shastras avoid giving the direct mantras, so people don't form any wrong impressions that now I have the mantra.
And for example, what happens if one reads this mantra and or hears it and starts to chant this mantra? Will he get any benefit, or he will get
nishpala mantra? You won't go to hell, but you won't get anything substantial from it. But you'll get something from it, but you won't get the real fruit.
Uh-huh, okay.
That's how the Padma Purana says. It doesn't say it's an offense for which you'll have to go to rotten hell. It doesn't say that. It just says it'll be fruitless.
There is a vyakhyana of Gayatri Mantra and Agni Purana also, and Jiva Goswami has taken has given an explanation based on the Agni Purana commentary on Gayatri Mantra. Is it so, Prabhu? So there the mantra is like broken down and each word is explained in detail like that.
Yes.
And that section of the Purana Jiva Goswami presents in a separate book.
Yes.
Is it true?
Well, and the mantra is given in the Purana, right? This Vayu Purana?
Agni Purana also is...
There are some books that are not for the general public. Just like if there's Archanapaditi, it's only supposed to be read by those who are initiated Brahmins. At least in the Gaudiya Math, they make a big deal about it. They won't sell the Archanapaditi to those who are not second initiated. I don't think, Prabhupada never said to maintain such a distinction, but in Gaudiya Math they do. So you may have a book that's not for the general public. So this commentary on Gayatri Mantra maybe was not meant to be distributed to those who don't have the Gayatri Mantra. I'm speculating, maybe.
Also, why is it that traditionally the father is supposed to initiate the Gayatri Mantra to his son? Like, sometimes it may happen that the father may not be in a very good spiritual position.
I don't know. It's not an Arsampradaya. Oh, okay, it may have been sometimes in Arsampradaya that the father would be the initiating guru. But there's no... I don't know other Sampradayas. Sri Sampradaya, they do it a lot. But in our Sampradaya, it's not a rule that the father should. But our principle is whoever is spiritually qualified can give initiation. And there's no rule against fathers giving initiation to their sons. If he's the qualified person to do it spiritually, it doesn't matter what relationship he has or doesn't have externally. That's our view on it. There's no tradition that fathers should give, but there's no prohibition that he can't give. Other Sampradayas, they may have different standards.
At least in the Madhavas follow this tradition of father along with many other priests will be there, but mainly father will be speaking the mantra into the ear of the son. Like
now that. The Gayatri Mantra, the Brahma Gayatri Mantra, giving of it is a samskara. It's not initiation. So the person who gives Upanayana is not necessarily the spiritual master in the sense of the person who gives the Vaishnava mantra. The Brahma Gayatri is not Vaishnava mantra. So it's not, getting it is not, in itself is not Vaishnava initiation. So father can give it, or priest can give it. It's not the same as taking initiation by getting the Vishnu mantra. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll get to you. Yeah.
Also, it's a question about how does Gayatri mantra works. It is said that there that it's a mother of Vedas, and all Vedic conclusions are embodied in this Gayatri mantra. So, what is the connection between chanting Gayatri mantra and our ability to understand Vedas? And
By chanting Gayatri mantra,
how does it work?
I don't know how it works. I can tell you what it does. I can't tell you how. What the Gayatri Mantra does is it brings you to the point of liberation, and it reveals the essence of the Vedic message, not necessarily all the details. Like, you won't know the Rig Veda by heart after chanting Gayatri Mantra, but you'll know the essence of the teachings of the Vedas. The essence, not necessarily the details.
Does it mean that it increases our ability to understand Vedas, or purify our consciousness in some way, or just gives us some I don't know how to explain it.
I guess you could say it increases our ability to recite Vedas. Strictly speaking, from the traditional point of view, you should not begin Vedic education until you receive the Brahma Gayatri Mantra. So, but we actually don't take that extremely seriously, because we consider, even if you're chanting Hare Krishna, you can read the Vedas, even without the Brahma Gayatri. Because for many centuries, the acharyas in our line didn't give Brahma Gayatri to devotees who were not born in Brahmin families. This wasn't begun by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, giving it to all the second initiated devotees, the Brahma Gayatri. Still, it wasn't that the Vaishnavas were told you're not allowed to read the Vedas. We consider that a Vaishnav, with or without the formality of the Brahma Gayatri, is qualified to study the Vedas. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave the Brahma Gayatri, just to make a public statement about that. He gave it to persons who were not born as Brahmanas. Because even without getting that initiation, that Brahma Gayatri mantra, they're qualified to study the Vedas. Anyway, it can't hurt. Chanting the Brahma Gayatri mantra will help us understand the Vedas, if that's what we want to do.
Maybe we chant Gayatri mantra, and this inner understanding, it works from inside, and from outside we study Vedas. It's like a boat, both processes are combined together, and all together they gave us complete picture of Vedic understanding.
Okay, yeah, but even if you don't recite, yes, that's okay. You know, that is inner samskara done by the Gayatri, and then externally you're actually studying the Vedas. But you can get the same result even without studying the Vedas externally.
Just by chanting Gayatri mantra, you can understand all Vedas.
Even without studying even just chanting Hare Krishna, actually. But the Gayatri, chanting Gayatri mantra facilitates.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Bharat Ram Prabhu. Oh. Oh, you said it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to usurp your chance. Okay, anything else? Yes.
What is the speciality of Kama Gayatri over the Brahma Gayatri?
It's worship of Gopal. It's worship of Krishna. Brahma, by chanting those mantras, he can fulfill any desire he wants, and a sincere chanter can fulfill any desire, but it's meant for encouraging transcendental desire in the loving service of Krishna, Gopal. Brahma Gayatri Mantra doesn't focus on that level. Okay, by chanting Gopal Mantra, you can tame love for Krishna.
I meant to Kama Gayatri.
By Kama Gayatri, well, the two Gopal Mantras, the Kama Bija, you know, there are two of them. The last one, yes. is worshipping Krishna in the Madhurya Rasa. So, of course, that's going to give a different fruit than just chanting Brahma Gayatri Mantra, which will give you liberation, but it's a different thing, different fruit. Yes?
I don't know, I didn't read this, that was not point whole. Will we have a discussion about Devi Bhagavatam, because it also begins from Gayatri Mantra.
It will be discussed one of the coming up Anuchedas.
Uh-huh, okay.
That's why I didn't mention it yet. Mm-hmm, okay, Jiva Goswami will talk about it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, we'll stop for now. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Tattva Sandarbha Ki Jai.